I was just asking John what I should preach tonight. Did I say I was going to preach something tonight?
Yeah.
What did I say I was going to preach on? Okay. Well, I had two sermons, or two or three ready. Two really. And I don't want to disappoint you children. I know you weren't here this morning. You were over, most of you were in junior church, but we still got some that were in here. So I'm going to do that tonight. But let me say a couple of things first. And that is, good to see James yesterday, wasn't it? Man, he's doing well. You know, he just having a nice car. Man, little Alexis, isn't it? Or is that kind of a fancy car or got some good gadgets on it? Okay. He's got a good job over there. He's happy in the Lord. And I know he's serving over there. I think he's in the ushering department over there. And so it was just good to see him. And that was John Steadman, if you weren't over at the Van Dalen's yesterday at Grace and Lydia's graduation party. Anyway, that was John Steadman, who is Greg Steadman's son. I want to just real briefly tonight, before we get going here, take that and put that over there. And the other night I gave a lesson on praying for missionaries, and I hope you take that, you know, to heart. And we're going to try to do something so we can make the missionary letters available to you. And maybe some of you want to take them home. Just hold off on that just for a second. But I got a couple of letters here. I just want a number of that. How many ever read Mark Farnham's prayer letter? Yeah. That guy gets a lot of professions of faith. And I know he gives them the gospel. He's not an ABC guy. You know, he was trained down there at PBI. In fact, he was Brother Donovan's brother-in-law. But boy, he gets a lot of people. A lot of them. And you wonder, but hey, if they pray and they were sincere, amen? And so that's a good letter, and I hope you'll continue to pray for him. And I got one from the Herzls. They're getting the COVID thing over there finally. Got one here from the, Mike Flick. That's a pretty good one. He's always got a real informational, but he's trained a lot of preachers, and he has a Bible Institute. One of his preacher boys, one of his men was preaching, and he was preaching on giving. And this one gal comes up to him after the class, and she said she's heard this topic addressed in a few other churches and has always walked away with a sore arm because she felt like they were twisting it, trying to get some money. And this is in South Africa. And for the first time, she said, she grasps why it's important and now wants to give. And Mike comments, isn't it true that God's commands are not grievous when properly understood? Right. Yeah. That's a good comment on that. And Francis, who taught the lesson, commented to me how satisfying it is to see the lights come on in the eyes of those being taught. And I've seen that a number of times, and it is, you know. I told you about a guy in our church back in Missoula 25 years ago, and he didn't know dispensations, didn't know where Israel fit in the Bible, and especially the first part of the book of Acts. And he's back there, and it was Keith. And he says, right in the middle of my preaching, and I was teaching, he says, I got it! You know? And that's always good to hear. But he said, Mike says, I've said for years that if there's anything better than receiving the truth, it would be watching others receive that same truth and watching it work for them as it did for you. And that is a blessing. to see. Okay. He has some other things in here. His wife broke her ankle. You could pray for her, Christina. Okay. Got another one here. Mills, Eddie Mills is back. No, I don't know if he is back over there. Did anybody read one of his previous letters? I forget, okay, but I think he's probably still in the country, but he's got 8 churches going on over there in the last 23 years. That's a good deal. And but he's venturing out to South Korea, which is now open to the gospel. And I'll just read this. He's got it headlined under opportunity. What better way to prepare for North Korea, closed country, than to prepare in South Korea, going to South Korea. Of course, North Korea is communist. And he said, I've contacted a school in Incheon, South Korea. How many know all about that? That's where MacArthur went after World War II. And, of course, the beginning of the Korean conflict. He said, I've contacted a school in Incheon, South Korea, that is prepared to receive a summer team during the month of July. Here's an opportunity for your college age or young married church members to be involved in missions. The school in South Korea will provide housing/food. Your church members will only have to provide their airfare, travel insurance, and visa. Please encourage your church members to realize COVID hasn't stopped the opportunities to serve. Missions is an important opportunity to serve others even when you are still in college, still college age, and not necessarily called to full-time mission. So there it is. There's an opportunity if anybody wants to go to the mission field. Now, he has got a good thing. He's taken now, he's taken PCC, that's Pensacola Christian College. When I always say my boys went to school in Pensacola, they always think, you know, not in here, but they say, oh, Pensacola Christian College. no, they didn't. Anyway, but it's a school that's a good school for training people and getting elementary education degrees and other degrees that you can get down there. But he has a bunch of those students that have come over. There's 2 of them that came over right after they were out of school, 2 girls, and they've been there 5 years helping him out. Opportunities, okay? I think it'd be great if someone in here, or some, maybe a couple of you, take a missions trip. That'd probably change your life. And one more. And this one is from Dan Bardwell, and we don't support him. You don't know him, but he's been over there in the Ukraine for 20 years. In fact, I find out reading that. And he's been there. He says, we're the busiest I've been in my entire life since this war started. It seems Putin is using his bombing and air raids to add the psychological to the physical aspects of the war. The Lord has kept us safe, though bombs have literally hit within a couple miles in every direction of our house over the last month. They blew up an automotive garage and tire repair shop on a street named Ukrainian. This is the same street our village is on, but on the other end of the street. It's really taken its toll, the daily air raids and sirens, and they've got a special needs son, and it really is affecting him. He said the trains are coming in. They bombed the train tracks while I was at the train station. He said the trains were coming in late with all the windows blown out of one side. But with the stress comes the opportunities. I have had great success with evangelism at the train station. And I'm wondering, you know, how many have seen that one guy reading a chick track? You know, I wonder if that, because he's got on the back of his letter pictures that he's taking. The train station is his mission field right now because people are over down there. And he's going down there just passing out. He said he's passed out about 3 boxes of tracks since the war started, and I've only found 4 that were thrown away. We used to go out there in Missoula, and we'd go to the football games. You know, you got 20, how many, I don't know, that stadium holds 25,000. We'd be by that footbridge that goes across there by Eastgate, and we'd give out tracks, and man, People will go down and hit the first trash can and put them in, or not hit the trash can. We'd find them all over the place. And when we would do that tracking down there. And but he said, only four. I haven't seen this type of evangelism since I came from my survey trip back in 2000. So he's been over there 20 years, or 20 years. And he also said, I guess time flies when you're having fun. And he said, I appreciate the extra support given to our work here. And talks about a mobile solar station for cell phones. How many know what that is? And that's what they have to use over there. And he asked for pray for the salvation for a couple of people. Of course, he said, pray for my English students from the universities in Lviv, L-V-I-V. If you've watched the news, I haven't watched it lately, but I remember that name of a city. He said, pray for my English students from the universities in Lviv who are fighting. Two have been killed and one is currently in the hospital after getting shrapnel. So he's got some friends being killed over there. Pray for our safety, and it's a great time to be here serving the Lord. The pictures on the back here are my time at the train station. The fishing is great. And so I hope you'll pray for this fellow. I think I'd like to post that back on the bulletin board and let you read it for your own. And pray for Dan Bardwell. Okay. All righty. Well, let's move right along. How many have a good day today? I sat out in the sun. Amen. Got my vitamin D. Don't have to take an extra tab tonight. I take a lot of vitamin D3. They say you should for this COVID thing, but you can get it from the sun. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me. Amen. So I just went out there and put my face right in the sun. Yeah. Amen. I love it. I love it. Love the life the Lord has given me. It's a great life. Wasn't there a movie about that one time? It's a Great Life. I'm sure there was, with Mickey Rooney or Rudolph Valentino or something like that.
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart. Yeah, amen. I had a friend that talked just like Jimmy Stewart, and was just the same height, just tall like that and lanky, and it's a great life. Praise the Lord. Well, take your Bible, go to Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to do it. Okay? Now, everybody get a Bible. You kids get a Bible too. You children, get a Bible. Amen? Everybody get a Bible that knows how to read. And if you're learning how to read, get it too. And someone help them along the way. I think that's so important. Okay? My kids, I gave them all Bibles when they were kids. Okay? And they carry them to church. They carry their Bibles to church. Now, to carry your Bible, have your kids carry their Bible to church. Come on.
Yeah.
We're going to start out real good here tonight, amen? And you ought to have your kids carry their Bible to church. I gave one to Charlotte the other day, a little New Testament. She's only 3 years old, and she's been taking it to her church. It's a good time to start when they're young. She was frantic the other day. They were leaving for church, and she couldn't find it. That's a good thing. And let's get used to the Bible and have your kids open up. And even if they're just starting to read, my little Amy, she's 5 years old, and she's been reading for. She's starting to play the piano, and so she's quoting verses to me, and it's a blessing. And it was a blessing when my kids, we'd sit around and read the Bible and have them stumble through the words, and try to pronounce them. And we'd help. I can just remember so many times. And, of course, they get a little embarrassed and all of that and start maybe even shedding a tear because they couldn't get through the word, amen. But that's part of the process, amen. And we just encourage them along. Look over here to Exodus chapter 20 for a kickoff verse on this this lesson. Amen. Lord, thank you for the great life we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for salvation, so full, so free, everlasting. Thank you for residing in our hearts through the Holy Ghost, which has been given unto us. And thank you for your word. I thank you tonight, Lord, for these folks that have shown up on a Sunday night. And there have been other people, they're out there sunning, still sunning. But they took it, and they consider coming to church on Sunday night to be an important thing. And I pray you'd bless them for it, and I know you will. And I pray, dear God, that what I say here tonight from the Scripture, Lord, will be a help to everybody, especially our children. We love them so much. And God, we want the best for them. And the best is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, and then to live a life that's pleasing to you. And so help tonight. Give understanding. I pray there'd be yielded hearts and wanting our spirits that want the Word of God and help in their life. Help us all to realize the seriousness of what's going on in this world today and the children that you've given us and how we ought to take our responsibilities, even as parents, seriously. And so help now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Exodus, and you know, in Exodus chapter 20, and Moses says this, given the Ten Commandments, notice in verse number 12, and just a good place to start, and he says in verse number 12, honor, and we'll look at this another verse in the New Testament, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, it's still that is also over there in Ephesians chapter 6. So let's go over there. And the first point I just have tonight, and this is direct, but you know, could I say this when I give this message and about the character of good children is. You are a child of God if you're by your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says now you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And so you and I are child or children of God also. So, you know, these scriptures certainly would apply to you as a child of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, I'm sure you're familiar with this this scripture, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, he says, I think he says children, doesn't he? Yeah, he does. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. See the next four words. Come on. For this is right. For this is right. You know, I had David and my children memorize this verse. I want them to obey me and show respect. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But David would say, children, obey your parents. Or he says, your parents in the Lord. For this is right. And had the squeaky voice. So let's do it. Not squeaky. But let's go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now say it with me. For this is right. It's right. It's right. It's right to obey your parents and to listen to them and obey them. Notice what he also says. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's the one we got back there in Exodus, that it may be well with thee. You know, you're going to have a better life if you just obey your parents. Don't have a miserable life, be sad, pout, have a bad attitude. Don't obey them. Don't be miserable. That's what's going to happen. That it may be well with you. Now listen, I'm an old man. I'm a grandpa and I'm a father. And I've had a number of children. I know everything I'm talking about. I've experienced a lot. I never let my kids pout. You pout, you go to bed. Amen. Just obey your parents. And even if you don't like it, obey them. You know, there's some laws I don't like. And I'm not going to mention them. But I obey him to the best of my ability. Amen. I don't like some things the government is doing. I don't like a lot of things the government is doing. But I'm not going to pout about it, whine about it. I have an obligation to obey those over me. Amen. The government is over me. That's an authority. The Lord is over me. You children, your parents are over you. God gave them for you, and you're to obey them. Amen. Now, parents, you know, you better amen me. I'm trying to help everybody, because it'll be well with you. You want it not to be well with you? And notice he says that it may be well. I'm not mad at anybody, okay? Not at all. I don't have a bone to pick with anyone in here. Nobody. God help me. You know, you know, sometimes a preacher can be a little vindictive and have a bone to pick. I think we all, as preachers, even just ought to make sure our heart is right so we don't try to single people out. Okay? And I have to do that because I know people. I know the people in different congregations. I know a lot of them. And I got to be careful. I don't want to be that way. And so he says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Look at Colossians chapter 20. Or excuse me, if you find it, you're doing good. Colossians chapter 3. Now look in your Bible and take notes. I know some of you do. You know, it's good that you give your kids maybe a little pad, a paper, and a pen, and they can write things down. It's just good to take notes. And Colossians chapter 3, and I think it says it again. Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse number 19. 19, is it? Husband, no, 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. Everything. God gave children, kids. God gave your parents for you, to you. They're a gift to you, just as you're a gift to them. Amen. And he says, in all things, everything that they tell you. Of course, we understand the unscriptural things and all of that, but notice it says, watch this, though, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That pleases the Lord. You believe in God? You believe in the Lord? Well, when you obey your parents, then that pleases the Lord. You want to please them. Notice something else. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to try to go as fast as I can with this. I don't like to keep you long. You know that. And but 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to be leaving for a few days. And I won't be back for, you know, a few days. Maybe near the end of the week or something like that. So I want to give you as much as I can because I won't be here Wednesday night. But notice he says in verse number 13, he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as what? Obedient children. Obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your old. You know what we were before? We were children of disobedience. All of us, before you got saved. And now he says, as obedient children. And we're not the children of disobedience anymore. And we need to, listen, we need to live up to our calling. We're obedient children now. We live as obedient children. I want to show you something else. Go back here to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Look at that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Here's another thing for your children. Start to learn where the books of the Bible are if you don't know them. And Deuteronomy chapter, because it's God's word. And he wants to teach you. And he wants to lead you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 21. If I say things about my children and some things that they have done as far as, you know, some of their good traits, I tell you some of their bad traits, I'm not trying to bring any attention to me as a parent. I'm just using as an example, okay? And God's been good to me. And God has had mercy on me and have been long-suffering with me. I had a good wife, and she helped me. We were a good team. And Proverbs, Deuteronomy chapter 21, look at it in verse number 18. If a man, watch this now, all of you, watch this. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father and or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, that means spank him, okay, and discipline them. And that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And verse number 21, look at this now. And it, all the men of his city shall what? This is under the law. Stone him with stones. That he die, that bothers me a little bit. You think that might be real cruel. God knew what he was doing. Put that evil away from you. But he says, so shalt thou put evil away from you, and all Israel shall hear in what?
Fear.
Fear. Put the fear of God in people. Now, we don't do that today. Anybody listening? We don't do that. But that only just shows you the seriousness of it and what God thinks about it. Back then, he thought of so much when a child was disobedient and rebellious, they put him away for good. And so God's not pleased. And so obey your parents. Look over here to Proverbs 10, Proverbs chapter 10. This is very basic, I know, but Proverbs chapter 10. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and notice verse number 1. Watch this. Come on now, everybody listen to this. He says, you know you're going to say, I don't think you should have preached this message. You should have preached the other one. But notice verse 1. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, come on boys, maketh a glad father. Amen. A verse that I like, I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth. A wise son who obeys and lives right and follows the parents' instructions and doesn't chafe at it. Makes a glad father, but watch this. But a foolish son. Did I say that right? A wise son? Okay. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Put some gray hairs on her head. Put some wrinkles on her face. That hurts mom. That hurts mom. Children. And your mom loves you. And your parents love you. And when you're foolish and disobedient, it puts a real heavy burden on mom. You with me? Serious, isn't it? Look over here to Genesis 46. You gotta love your parents. You know, your parents... you know, your dad works, and your mom, some mothers work, but dad's normally the breadwinner. But he goes out every day and has to put up with the world, guys out there cussing. Yup, guys out there cussing and taking God's name in vain, and they love the Lord. And they do that for you so you can have a bed and you can have some food and a nice house and take a vacation here and there and have a good life. And you ought to love your parents. And you ought to show your love to your parents. You ought to tell them you love them. Often. Often. My kids tell me that all the time. Now my grandkids are saying it. Judah's starting, he got a little phone. I guess a house phone for when he's 13. And so when Rachel goes, or Becca goes to town, you know, he stays home and babysits the kids. And so she gave him a phone. Hey, Gramps! He just last night, first time. I said, "What? Who's this?" It's Judah, you know. We texted, but the last thing he always says, "Love you." And we do. Now, love your parents. Look what Joseph does. Look back here in Genesis 46:29. This is Joseph, he went up to meet his dad after being separated for many years. And it says in verse number 29, "And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel," that's Jacob, his father, to Goshen, "and presented him unto him, himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while." What a thing. What a reunion that had to be. And my son David, every time he sees me, when we haven't been away for a while, he comes up, he gives me a hug, and then kisses me on my neck.
Right.
He's got a scratchy beard. But that's what he does. He loves his dad. He loves his dad. I don't know that was a real good parent. I know his mother was a good mother. I did the whipping. Well, Chris Jane, she could do it too. Boy, she had a long fuse, but boy, when the fuse went off, I'm out in the workshop. And with my tail between my legs, man. But comes up and kisses me on my neck. He loves me. You gotta love your parents. Amen. They've done so much for you. Your mom almost died when you came out. She was right there. I don't know all the things about childbirth, although I've been in on all of my kids, and coached my wife. But I know that there's a point that's pretty, you know, it's there. So she went through a lot for you. Pain. You ought to love them. Look over here to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew, this is for you children tonight, but it's for all of us as children of God. But really, look at just a couple of things here. Look at Matthew chapter 18. And this isn't a great message, but it's a good lesson and some good instruction. In Matthew chapter, I had a marker there, I thought. Yeah, I did. And he says, the Lord in verse number 1, "And the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall," what?
Humble
himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Children, you ought to have some humility. You ought to be humble. The opposite, of course, being proud. And just be teachable. A humble person is teachable. And you humble yourself as a little child and learn. Let's look at what I'm giving you tonight. You ought to humble yourself and have a little humility, and because you don't know it all. I don't care how. You don't know it all. You think you know it all. You don't know it all. Okay? I know where you're at. I thought when I was 18, I knew it all. I did not know it all. I still don't know it all. I know a little more. But you little teeny boppers, come on, that's what you are, teeny bopper. And I'm not trying to be condescending to you, but that's the way it is. We were all there. You're still kind of dingy. Just the way it is. You'll grow up. I'll tell you how you grow, right here. Get into the Word of God and listen and obey. The more you obey, the more you will grow. And so humility is needed. Look over here to Proverbs 23. I'll say just another thing here. Another thing. I got to tell you something. On this obedience thing. Eat your food. Eat everything on your plate. I'm a stickler for that. I've been poor. I've been poor with my kids. We had kids. We were poor. Back in 1990, only 30 years ago or so, and starting that church in Missoula, all I had in the freezer was one package of antelope steak. I hate antelope. Now, we were poor. But when we did get food and we put it on the plate, we made our kids eat all our food. So, and that's for you parents, but it's also for your children. Eat everything on your plate. Obey your parents. They worked for that. It was scarce. And God provided. And they needed. I remember Tim. He's got 6 girls. And he sent me a picture, I guess when phones started sending pictures. And he had, and I won't tell you which kid it was, but he had a picture of one of his kids. And she was all girls, you know. Her head was in the plate. And the plate was full of food. But Tim was going to make her sit there till she ate. And that little girl was stubborn. And she sat there and sat there and sat there and sat till she fell asleep. And her pillow was the plate. He sent me the picture. You know what it was? It was your will, that girl's will, against her father's will. Amen. And your father is a picture of your children, a picture of God. And if you obey your father and your parents, then you'll more readily obey God. When the things come down the pike and you understand what the requirements are for your life. Look over here to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. A lot could be given on this particular subject, but notice Proverbs chapter 23. I want to make a plea to you. Notice verse number 26. He said, "My son, give me thine heart." God wants your heart. Surrender to Him. The Bible talks about surrender and yielding to Him. Just, Lord, I give myself to You. Be best you do it at a young age. Till you have to go grow up and kind of have to experience some rough things. And God has to work on you and bring some unpleasant things into your life to get you to bend and bow. Okay? So now's the time. Now's the time to do it. He says, "My son, give me thine heart." I'll say something else. Look over here to 2 Timothy. I'm sure you could add some things to this. The Bible says, parents, chasten thy son while there was hope, and let not thy soul spare for their crying. Look over here to 2 Timothy, and you know the verse. We've been in the pastoral epistles, but notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, He says to Timothy in verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Stop right there. Get to know the Bible. They're able to make you wise through salvation that is in Jesus Christ, but don't take what we say. You have heard and you hear the Bible opened and preached and read time after time from here in your Sunday school classes and in your Awana. I want to encourage you tonight. Learn the Bible. Study the Bible for you. Memorize Scripture. You know, I thought about that. Look in your Bible. When I am preaching or somebody else is up here, or your Sunday school teacher, don't sit there like a lump on the log. Open your Bible. You may not get it right. You might not get it all, but God can do stuff through your word because it's a seed. The Bible's like a seed, and it's being planted in your mind and through your eye gate and into your mind and hopefully down to your heart. And it will pay its dividends in time. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It'll come. That seed will come later on. And so learn, know the Scriptures. Memorize a verse. You know, I was thinking, that's a terrible thing, isn't it, sometimes? I was thinking, you used to have an ACE school here. There was a lot of memorization in there. I remember we had... We had an ACE school in the basement in the church in Bismarck. We had 5 girls and 5 boys. 7 of those kids are still in church that I know. The 8th might be. I don't know where that one is. I know the one's almost an atheist now and one's out in the world. But 7 of those kids are still in church. And some are preachers, David. And one kid went to PBI, was a missionary down in Brazil and married a Colombian, or was down there, married a Colombian girl, lives in Texas now. And one of the kids, boys, he heads up the whole Sunday school department at Open Door back there. But you know what? There was a lot of memorization in the ACE program. And I'm wondering, I don't know, but I think sometimes the homeschool, and I'm a homeschooler. We homeschooled our children. But I think some of that, I don't know, ladies, you do most of the teaching. I don't know how much memorization you have. We had a lot of memorization in ACE. Who taught ACE down here? I know you. Yeah. A lot of memorization. You had that reading machine? How many remember the reading machine? That was a good thing. Do you remember it? Did you go to the... Okay, but you had that reading machine. It was on a cylinder, and just so much of the sentence would come, and you'd read it, and you could speed it up. And you just learned to read, and learned to read a little faster, you know? It was a great thing. But I wonder if the homeschool movement has hindered that a little bit. I'm not saying that you don't teach your kids. I'm not accusing anybody. We don't have that ACE school anymore. But they had a discipline there. Remember that thing? You don't turn around without putting your flank up. Or you get a demerit. Amen. Got to put up the Christian flag for something and the American flag for something else. You turn around, boom, there. You got a demerit. You get 3 demerits coming up to my office. Amen. They sent Sarah up there one time. Sarah, my daughter, Tim, David and Sarah were in. I got to tell you this. She came up to my office. Mrs. Bosch sent her up there for something, some infraction. I couldn't spank Sarah. I put her on my lap and gave her a cup of coffee and a donut. That wasn't right, I know. I got in trouble for that, being partial. But believe me, she got enough spankings, But I'm saying, know the Bible. Be familiar. This is your book for life. And so look in the scripture when your Sunday school teacher teaches. Look in the Bible when I preach or whoever else preaches up here. Just look in. I don't get it all. Yeah, I know. But you'll get something. It's God's word. I'm going to say something else. Take your Bible, go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. This is for children, but we're all children. Leviticus chapter 19, that's where we're going. And Leviticus chapter 19, and notice the Lord, Moses is giving some directives here, and notice what he says in every verse almost is something different. But he says in verse number 32, thou shalt not rise up before the hoary head. That's like Ralph.
Yes, sir.
That's that hoary gray head, which I'm getting some too. I look at pictures of myself and my hair is gray, it looks like. I mean, when I see the pictures, when I look in the mirror, it doesn't look like that. I said, who is that guy? But he said, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. Can I say this? Respect your elders. I've told you that my boys, they come down here and they're going to call Brother Dean, Mr. Simmons. I mean, Mr. Simmons' son. That's what they call him. They call him Mr. Simmons. They still do. And they're in their 40s. Tim's in his 50s. He's 50. Respect your old. I've been real fortunate to have some elderly men in my churches. And I remember them, Mr. Trent, out in Washington, and Mr. Powell, and up in Alaska, John Holmberg, old man. And man, I'd shine their shoes, boy. You respect your elders. When I come by them, I don't just brush by them. This is Mr. Cornea. There's Mr. Shannon back there. This is Mr. McLean. You ought to go by him. Hi, Mr. McLean. And Hope. You understand? Did you get me? Come on, kids. You be nice to them. How you know you can be nice? Say hi to them. It won't kill you. It'll be a blessing to him. And a blessing to you. Show respect. I'm not just old John, by the way. Okay? I'm no big shot. You can call me Mr. Habman or pastor or preacher. Don't call me John. You men can call me Brother John. But you understand? There's something that we've lost that in our churches and our country. Okay, we're just buddy-buddy like that. There's a certain level there. Respect your elders. I'm not puffing myself up. I walk by some of you and you could care less. And that's not right for you. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But it's good for you to respect your elders and acknowledge them. And you don't have to salute me, and you understand. But you should greet people. You know, you'll endear, children, listen up to me now. You'll endear yourself to those people if you respect them. They'll probably pray for you more. Amen. You might get inheritance from them. You might get a little Amen. I've had some good older people, and I'm very blessed to have Mr. and Mrs. McLean in here. I really am. I'm just blessed to know them. It's just something. Let's give you one more thing. Look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28. I've not tried to be hard on you tonight at all. Just straight with you to try to help your life. You want to be a good daughter and you want to be a good son. Proverbs chapter 28. One of these days, if the Lord tarries, you're going to be running this church. One of you may be the pastor's wife and one of you may be the pastor. It happens. If the Lord tarries. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Look at verse number 7. Whoso keepeth the law, that'd be God's law, is a what?
A wise son.
Yeah, a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Don't hang with the wrong people. Obey God, obey God's law, but don't hang with the wrong. Don't hang with people that don't want to live for God. You know people that don't want to live for God. I wouldn't hang with them. I mean, try to help them, I suppose, to a certain extent, but don't spend a lot of time with them. Because it's catchy. I'll give you here one more verse in here. Notice verse number 24 in the same chapter. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. You know what Jacob did? He robbed his father or robbed his family. And then guess what happened to him? He got swindled. You know, it'll always come back to you. It'll come back to you. And guess what else happened to him? God grabbed his leg and made him a cripple. And he walked like this the rest of his life. That's right. And then he had some sons. And he had a daughter. And she got raped. Then he had his favorite son, Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brother, and they told him he was dead. And he grayed up for what he did way back when. I don't want that to happen to you. He ended up well. But boy, what he went through that he didn't necessarily have to go through. Children, I hope you'll wise up on that, and it'll help you. When I see a kid go bad, breaks my heart. Breaks your parents' hearts. Breaks God's heart. Let's pray. Now thank you, Lord, tonight. Oh, God, I know your word is true. And your mandates are so and true. And I pray for our youth and our children that are just gathered here tonight. I pray they would have taken this and the way by my spirit that was trying to give out the word tonight, not to be harsh, but to be truthful. I pray they'd take it and work in their hearts. Help them to want to please you by pleasing their parents and doing that which is right. It's not what they call rocket science. It's pretty well and simply laid out in your word. And so help them. And God, I know they'll have struggles, and I know they'll have temptations. I pray that they look to you and really give their heart to you and surrender to you and have a good walk with you. They can. Even at this young age. God, I pray give them a good life. Yes, Lord, they have activities and they do this and that, and that's okay. And they have jobs and that's good. But, oh God, would they realize that their greatest responsibility is to you. And Lord, you've given these children, their parents that brought them to church tonight. Help them, Lord, to be very appreciative of that and be a thankful person. Bless our church here, Lord. And I know you will, as we follow you and try to please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can come. You can come and pray tonight if you want at this altar. And talk to the Lord. It'd be good for you. Give your heart to the Lord. I don't know that song. 479. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your children.